because he know I don't mess around, man. When it come to Najee, man, I will walk through fire to make an example out of whoever is necessary to make an example out of. Najee is my world, man. He's a Muslim, man. And the duty of a civilized man is to teach the uncivil how to be civil, to teach him cultural refinement, to teach him the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is when? It's when you can identify with your purpose in life, when you know your mission in your life. What I'm doing with my son, I'm teaching him, man. I'm teaching my son his mission. And his mother, his mission is not basketball. His mission is upholding God's kingdom. Finish listening to this meeting that I had with these folks. And they know, them people out of New York.
All right, brother. Peace, y'all. This is Views from the 7 podcast. Your guy Spence, joined by the homie Ivan.
AKA Positive Pete.
Skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a very, very special guest.
Man, this is Muhammad. Muhammad, your brother, Kim Muhammad, Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
Welcome.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having me, man. Before we get going, man, I just want to say to y'all, man, y'all are a lot younger than I am. Yeah. What y'all doing right now, man, is really needed in this city, for real. You know, I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all because we have to have other outlets, you know, for our people to be able to engage in. And, right. You know, the older generation, you know, man, they sitting on their hands.
Yeah, we like to this is more of a raw and uncut. Oh, we don't.
I'm born like that.
Yeah, we don't have to subscribe to any narratives.
Okay.
Yes, but for those listening that's not from Las Vegas, this is a brother that I seen on Facebook, and our sons go to the same school.
Right.
And recently we found out the institution that they go to.
Not accredited.
Yeah, they shady.
Right.
Call it real shady all the way around right now. But the part that drew me to you was the passion that you showed for your family. Right. Not just your son, but your whole family. And that's nothing, I haven't seen anything like that in a very long time.
Man, I just have to keep it so 100, man. You know, family is the cornerstone to a civilized nation. So if a man is not engaged in wanting to protect his family, then he ain't no man to me, you know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of young black brothers in this city, man, they don't have examples. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to give them those examples. So at the end of the day, man, we got to do a better job of giving our young black males an example of what a real man is. Mm. You know, a lot of us think a real man is one who has a lot of money, but, you know, Minister Farrakhan don't teach us like that. He teaches us that a real man is one who reflects the spirit of God. Mm. You know, I just believe God ain't no punk. Right. So absolutely. At the end of the day, absolutely. You know, that's how I raise my boys. I have two of them, you know, but okay. I believe education is very, very important, and I stress that. I'm a tyrant when it comes to education, you know. It ain't just about hooping and hanging out and all of that. No, you got to be about it.
Absolutely.
Know, all the time. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's good to hear. You say you got two boys. So Najib is your...
My youngest.
Is the baby.
Yeah, he the baby of the whole family, you know. So he treated just a little bit different, you know. He kind of spoiled, you know, but he understanding. He understand what's going on. Yeah. And I don't start, you know, teaching... You know, I never started teaching my children how to be young men and young women right now. It started early. You know what I'm saying? You got to get in their ear when they early. You got to lay that foundation when they early. Because if not, then you battling in the world that's in opposition to what you stand
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, and as y'all, do y'all have children?
Absolutely. Yes,
sir. Okay. Y'all got to be in their ear. It can't just be, man, you know, when you're at the park or when you're in the car. That's critical. But the most important time for you to be in your child's ear is at dinner. You got to make time. You and your wife got to make time. Y'all got to have dinner at the table. One can't be sitting in the dining room and the other one watching football and wife upstairs or she and the kid. No, everybody sit down at the table and eat together. And, you know, me and my wife been together ever since the 10th grade. Mm, so this ain't nothing new,
it's
you
rare.
Know. Yeah, she from Vegas. She really from Vegas.
Shout out.
You know, she went to the old Vegas High School.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
so,
downtown.
That's downtown. Yeah. I went there too, you know. Yeah, I went there too.
Okay.
But we believe that, man, family, everything. And we got to give our community a better example of the representation of what black love is and what black family is.
Absolutely.
So you know, I'm looking at your, you know, I'm looking at your situation, and you know, I'm very alarmed as well because you know our sons go to the same school. But everything you're saying right now, how does that translate into the plight of our community? How do we change the outlook?
Man, if I could be so real with y'all.
Absolutely. That's what we need.
That's what we wanted.
Man.
Uncut.
We got to quit being. We cowards. Okay. When it comes to issues that have a direct effect on the development of our mind as a community. So we believe that we have to follow the narrative that has already been laid out for us by a system that has been designed to hold us back. You know, black people love white folks because they give us nothing.
Mm. Yes.
You know, this is not a white and black issue, but I'm just keeping it 100 with you.
Absolutely.
Carter G. Woodson made a very profound statement. Y'all heard on the thing, man. Carter G. Woodson said, a man who, I forgot, basically who controls your thinking doesn't have to worry about your actions.
Mm. Okay.
So, man, we have to become in control of our thought process. We have over 14 billion brain cells, and we don't even use a third of them as a community. So who else is using our brain cells to move us? It damn sure ain't us. Look at the condition of our neighborhoods. Look at the condition of our children. Look at the condition of our thought process. So that has to start in your home at the dinner table with your children, with your wife. Y'all have to be in the mindset of constantly reprogramming your children when they come home from school. Every day. So you start that reprogramming system at the dinner table. You know what I'm saying? And during slavery, man, they didn't believe, man. You know, one worked in the field, one worked in the house, and while the child was at the home, you know what I'm saying? So when they came home, everybody was so damn tired, they didn't have time for one another. So that's the breaking of the home, we gotta build that foundation up. And our condition is predicated on us as men being the cornerstone to our household. If you're not that, man, then you got some work to do. Not you. We got some work to do.
Yeah, yeah. Where are we slipping as black men?
Personally, man, being involved in our children's affairs, stepping up to the plate, accepting our responsibility. We just think that our responsibility is shelling out money.
Right. Yeah.
No, man. We got to teach, train, and develop. That's all. That's, man, you born to solve problems. That's it.
Fact.
That's what a man is for. He born to solve problems. You a problem solver. You know what I'm saying?
When I was watching your video, you said that you're an entrepreneur.
Yes, sir.
And your wife is an educator or a social worker.
A social worker. Yeah, she's been for 14 years.
One of your daughters is an educator.
My daughter, she's getting her degree to become a teacher, and she's only 20.
So she will be an educator.
Yeah, she will be an educator. And my son, Malik, graduated from Tuskegee. He's about to graduate with his master's from UNLV, but he came back home and went back to his community. See?
Okay.
He could have got a job on the other side of town. He said, I want to come back and give back to my own.
Absolutely.
And he's the only black teacher, male, in the middle school at Democracy Prep. Think about that.
That's crazy. That's nice.
Yeah.
So it's clear you teach education because I heard you say that you didn't even finish high school.
No, I didn't finish. You know, I went to the 12th grade, but I was a knucklehead. You know, I thought I could do it on my own, you know, and I had an opportunity to get my high school diploma, but I never did. And I always made it a point as a father that I would not allow my children to slip through the cracks. And I would be the upstanding mantle in my house to make sure that everybody got their diplomas and their degrees if that's what they wanted to pursue. And if not, then you have to look elsewhere to being an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? You got to teach three things to your household, man. You got to teach them good health. You got to teach them finances. And you got to teach them to know how to articulate themselves when they are out in public. They have to know how to speak. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They have to understand language and words and knowing what people saying. They have to understand how to process information. And if we are not giving our children those three critical elements, then we cheating ourselves, man, in this society. They got to know finances. See, because when your finances is right, then you empower your household. Mm. And it's one word. If you ask my children, you could take them by themselves and ask them. If it's one word that your father always tell you that you have to have in your life is what? And the one word is control.
Absolutely.
You got to be in control, man.
I heard that in your video. You said that, and your son instantly said control.
Yeah, he know that. You know, you got to be in control. Because if you're not in control, who? Somebody else.
Control him for
you. Yeah, we like puppets on strings. And, you know, man, like what y'all doing, man, this modern. You know what I'm saying? And we got to get up to speed. You know, that's where we are. We, as Las Vegas, a community in the black urban area, we not up to speed.
Absolutely. We still, we years behind. And, I mean, you start to see it now where they're slowly taking it away.
And what y'all doing, man, y'all are putting y'all foot to the pedal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all want to create that environment, man, because we live – see, what we don't understand as blacks in Las Vegas, I don't like to say America, but Las Vegas, because I don't worry about what go on in other parts of the country. You know, I rep this right here.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? This Vegas all day, you know what I'm saying? So I just always tell people, man, you know, we got to get up to speed on everything. We got to be in control of our own finances, and we got to be able to take – and process information from other young people, man. Y'all younger than me, man. Like y'all said, man, y'all, you way.
But see, this is rare right here. You know what I mean? This is kind of like not the norm.
Right.
Because our
norm.
No, this is against the norm because the youth and the elders.
So divided.
Right. The divide is.
But what we have to do as a community, you know, I was on 88.1 with Mujeen Ramadan. And
absolutely. He used to come on every Wednesday.
Yeah, and I was on there a few weeks back, you know, promoting the essay contest that we just threw. Mm. And we gave our $500 to a young man who attends Clark. And, you know, one thing I always tell us as the elders, and I always believe this, you know, even when I was young, make education fly. You know what I'm saying? You know, that new word that the young people use, drip. Yeah. You know, I don't know how to put it in right content, but, you know, you got to make it like that, you know?
Right.
So what I do is I just make education fly. It's nothing wrong with being intelligent and fly. It's nothing wrong with having your bread right and being a square. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because at the end of the day, if you look at how America's ran, it's ran by squares.
Facts.
That's facts. But their bread is right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they get other people to be fly.
That's all my thing was always nerds rule the world.
All day. And, man,
I don't think that'll never change.
If you look at my son, man, you know my oldest, he a nerd to me. But he one of the flyest nerds that I know.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not bragging because he my dude, but at the end of the day, man, every young lady that he has dated has been fly. You know what I'm saying? They've been bad, if you just want to really put it like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they really want bright, intelligent brothers. They want brothers who can step up to the front and handle their business.
Absolutely.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And when my son told me that, hey, Pops, man, I've been doing all this work, man. I'm driving this Chevy, man, aluminum, man. But I want to step my game up. I want to purchase a Benz. I said, man, you entitled to that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You work extremely hard. Why not treat yourself right? Because some, you know, there's an old saying going, a man who don't teach you right will never treat you right. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I taught my son right. Go be a go-getter. Go get what you want. But make sure that you a good manager of your finances. Because at the end of the day, you can't be a black man in America and not have your finances right. Because we don't have rainy days.
Absolutely.
We have storms.
Yeah.
So we got to be like the ant. You know, the ant work diligently in the summertime because he know the winter is coming. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when he you know, go and camp out for the winter, he can go deep into the soil because he know, man, everything was taken care of during the summer, you know, because I knew that this winter was coming. But we as black men, we don't function like that, you know. Like, that's why if you listen to the radio program, I mean, whatever I said on that YouTube, whatever the hell it was,
Facebook.
I said, man, you know, we react. We not proactive.
That's true.
We react. We got to get out of that, man. You know, and I'm learning. Believe me, man, I do a lot of reading, a lot of listening to inspirational people speaking, white, black, orange. I don't give a damn what color you are. If it's good for me, then I'm absorb it. You know what I'm saying? And then apply it to my household. You know, we got to get it. Yeah. We can't leave this earth broke, hungry, naked, and outdoors.
And like I seen, like, you attack the problem head on, whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
The way you were speaking, it was like you go head on with whatever the problem is.
Whatever it is.
And that's what you also installed in your kids.
Right. You can't wait, man. You know what I'm saying? Just like y'all didn't wait to have me on. Y'all felt like, man, oh, man, that's a hot topic. Shit, man, let's get on it.
Yeah, when I was watching, it was more so of a challenge to me.
Right.
As a father. Like, you know, I'm looking at it like, damn, you know, I might not be doing enough.
Right.
I might be doing enough. So that's how I took the video. Right. So when I contacted you, it was less about what was going on. It was more so, let me have a conversation with this brother. Right. So he can, you know, he challenge me, pick me up. Because we do let life get us to the point to where we're too busy.
Right.
And we don't start paying attention to our children until there's a problem.
Right. And I can honestly sit here and say, man, my children from day one have been priority number one. They supersede everything. You know, my life is not my life no more. I live my life for my children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever I did, I had my chance to do. Now I got to be that example. You know, I keep saying all the time to all brothers and sisters, man, the cornerstone to a civilized nation is family. That's the cornerstone. And if you got good family structure, I'm telling you, it's not nothing that y'all can't come through. You know, man, I had reconstruction back surgery. You know what I'm saying? My wife didn't know. You know, she's around there stressed out. But just so happened, man, we had a little paper in the bank. You know what I'm saying? Somebody never taught me finances, but I knew, man, that shit, we got to have our money right a little bit because I know a rainy day going to come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have a good soulmate, man. You know, when you got a good woman on your hip, man, I'm telling you, she going to push you, you know what I'm saying, to do right. You know, her duty. The Bible teaches us, man. You know, and I ain't no preacher. Don't get me wrong.
We want to hear it.
Yeah, but I know scripture, though. You know, she's your helpmeet. You know, that's what the book of Genesis says. She's your helpmeet. She's going to help you meet your requirements. If you do your duty, you know what I'm saying? She going to push you. You know what I'm saying? She going to irritate you. But at the end of the day, you're going to appreciate it in the long run.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I appreciate my wife, man. She my ride or die to
absolutely.
The end. You
I
know what I'm
it.
Saying? Whatever I've been through, believe me, she done been through. Yeah.
Man, you don't even walk like you had no type of back surgery.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, sometimes when I get home, I just lay down, you know.
So, what is black love to you?
Struggle. Sacrifice, dedication, commitment, tears, sweat, all of that, man. Anguish, all of that is black love, man. And then the ultimate apex of black love is meeting and overcoming any obstacles that might be in your path. That's black love. Because if you just think it, man, it's romance all the time, then you got all this messed up.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I know what it is, you know, for my wife to have a partial I can't even pronounce the word.
Breast?
Yeah. Miss mastectomy. Is that?
Yeah. Mastectomy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My wife had that. You know what I'm saying? So I know what it is, you know, to see my wife, you know, throwing up. You know, we don't know if she got cancer or not. You know, but I'm there. You know, if she needed me to wipe her backside, I'm there. I made that commitment from day one. And you have to go into your relationship knowing that, man, if you want your relationship to be long-term, lasting, then you got to put in that time, brother. You know, every day ain't going to be a good day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I ain't going nowhere.
Absolutely.
I ain't going nowhere. Man, you belong to me. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And vice versa. You know, and I believe that, man. When I ain't been perfect, believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was born and raised in Inglewood. You know, I come from a gang-infested element. You know what I'm saying? I know what it is to see a man die at the age of 8. You know, I know all that. Right here in Las Vegas, I seen my grandmother kill a man for beating me. Almost beat me half to death. It ate on First and Bonanza. You know what I'm saying? It left me for dead in the street. So, you know, I knew.
Jesus.
Yeah, I come from that type of environment. I come from hustle. You know what I'm saying? I come from dope dealers, you know. But I just knew that that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to bring that to the table. My mama was a hustler, you know.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she kept me out of that, you know, and I just knew as watching my uncles and people in that environment, I just knew that's not the life I want. I know what I want for my family. You know what I'm saying? I had it already in my mind from a child. We would sit down at the table and eat. You know what I'm saying? I would be there for my wife. You know what I'm saying? I already had that in my mind. And you got to go in, man. We got to go in knowing those type of things. And if you don't know and you're in a position to teach that, then you have a responsibility.
So you programmed yourself, young.
Man, yeah, a little bit, you know. But most importantly, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, you know, helped me to understand what a real man was. Because I never had one in my life. You know, I ain't had no real man. I ain't had no warrior. I ain't had no lion. Shit, when I seen Minister Farrakhan roar, I was like, I'm going to be like him, you know.
Yeah. So what is that to you?
What do you mean? What is that
to you? A real man.
Farrakhan. I don't even know. Uncompromising stands for something. You know, I had a job at 21, man. And I'll never forget, I was in a position of authority. And I was running a whole department. I was 21. But I had to go to a meeting. And in the meeting were all executives. And they wanted to know about you if you was new to the company. And this, no lie. I was sitting in the back of the room. I was sweating. I was like, man, I got to tell these people the truth. You know, because when you got truth, the only thing that's going to set you free is telling the truth.
Yeah.
That's going to build your foundation. So when they asked me the question, when I got before 150 people, none of them looked like me except one, which was the sister. She was the narrator. She asked me, who do you love and admire the most? I said, oh, man, I'm finna get fired. I said, I love my mother because she gave birth to me. But I love and admire the Honorable Louis Farrakhan because he's uncompromising. He stands for a principle. He doesn't compromise his principles to be in the company of a society that is in opposition to what he stands for. Mm. You could drop a pen in the room. But from that day, they respected me. I worked there 7 years. You know what I'm saying? They never questioned me. You know, when the Million Man March came around, they said, oh, yeah, you could go. I was only, man, I was young. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, okay. But I wasn't processing it, what I was going through. I was being shaped as a man from what I was learning from Minister Farrakhan all the way. So, man, he like my spiritual father, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love my pops, my biological, but my father is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, no doubt. Yeah.
When so you graduated. Well, you didn't graduate, right. But you dropped out 12th grade?
Yeah, what happened was, man, I ball. I play hoops, man. So I went to a predominantly powerhouse high school. I don't know if you know who Byron Scott is. Byron Scott, he went to my high school. Lisa Leslie went to my high school. Tina Thompson, who was from there, went to my high school. Brother named Eldon Campbell, a few other people. My high school was known for basketball.
In Long Beach? That's Long Beach,
No,
right?
That's Inglewood. Yeah, Inglewood. My high school was in Inglewood.
Okay.
Morningside High.
Oh, I thought he went to Long Beach Poly.
Who is that?
Byron Scott.
Nah, Byron Scott from Inglewood, okay, man. Okay. Yeah. We don't want to give Snoop that love. Nah, Byron Scott went to Morningside, but I played there. But, you know, I was tricking off. So my family moved me to Las Vegas with my grandmother. So, you know, man, we got wind. You know, we smart. We intelligent. Man, we falsified our grades.
So when did you find the Nation of Islam?
I found the Nation in 1990. Yeah, I found the Nation, but I didn't join the Nation of Islam till 1991. And I didn't become fully registered till 1993. And I always, you know, I'm not, you know, there's a level of being active in the Nation of Islam. I'm not active to that level, but I am active to that level, you know. And what I mean is that you're not going to see me in a suit and bow tie right now because, you know, I made a pact with my son. I said, you know, when you get to high school, brother, you know, I'll put it in my mind. I'm going to take a leave of absence, you know, but I'm not taking a leave of absence. I'm giving all of me to you right now. Mm-hmm. It's your time, brother. So, you know, you hooping, we're going to travel the country. You know, me and my wife, we done been all over this country with my son, man.
Yeah, kind of like where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I mean, when it's I say full-time everywhere. Full-time job. We spend a lot of bread. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Denver, everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But it's his time. But when he graduate, man, you know, I'm 100, you know. Brothers know.
Yeah.
The real brothers know, man. I'm coming back. And you know, I'm helping. But I'm helping now. I'm out here in these streets, you know.
You still speaking the word.
Oh, still speaking. Man, I go to these schools. You know, they let me in these schools and speak to the basketball teams and stuff like that. And I just use that. You know, I use basketball as the platform to get inside of institutions to be able to spread God's word. At the end of the day, you know, God is the cornerstone.
See, I grew up, I was born and raised in a dominant Christian household.
I'm a Christian. That messed people up, but I am that. Yeah. And you hear people say, what the hell is he talking about? He's a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Jew. I'm all of it. You know, them just titles.
Yeah.
You know, Christ, I mean, Christ means one who is crystallized and doing the work of God. That's all it means. Muslim is one who submit his will to do God's will. That's all the word Muslim means. One who submit his will to do God's will. We be like, oh, I'm Muslim. I'm Christian. Man, we all that.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay. You know, but we know it's a.
Oh, it's some. Yeah, we gangbang.
Yeah. So it wasn't until I'm 30. I just turned, turned 30.
Man, I wish I was 30, man.
He can't wait to say that.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
I turned 30, and I said, I'm going to tell everybody I just turned 30 until I'm 31. But it wasn't until I was around 27 to I was in a meeting with the Sisters of the Nation, from the Nation of Islam.
Oh, okay.
Sisters and a few brothers.
Okay.
And it was my first time. And it was the way I've never seen my people speak so highly of one another in their community.
Right.
And it took me back a little bit.
Right.
And I was shocked. I was like,
man, that's what attracted
you
me.
I never heard brothers speak to each other like that.
Yeah, man. You know, that's what attracted me, man. When I first came in, it was the love. From the Jump Street, I'm gonna be 100 with you, man. Being in the Nation ain't no lightweight thing. It's an enormous amount of responsibility that comes along with being a member of the Nation of Islam, and there is a lot that you start to expect from yourself when you start to get inside of yourself and start to clean up your life. You know, then you put a lot of responsibility on yourself. And people be thinking that you crazy. You be like, you know, it's just that transformation that's going on. It's just like anything else in life. You know what I'm saying? When you want to get your life together, man, you start cutting people off. You ain't talking that much. People be like, man, where you been? Yeah. They be like, what the hell going on, man? Yeah. You tripping. You know, no, I ain't tripping, man. I'm getting my life together, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what y'all doing, man? Well, y'all really don't understand. You know, I'm sitting here. I'm tripping off y'all. I'm just like, man, I'm in here with these brothers. They got all this stuff right here, man. Yeah. I want to learn this. But, man, y'all are very important, man, to what's going on, man. These young people need to see this. That's why I asked, could I film y'all?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They need to really see, man, brothers behind the scene, what they doing. They hear y'all voice. Well, shit, man, everybody don't know if you black.
Yeah. So you the first Muslim brother that I'm really having a one-on-one conversation with.
Oh, wow.
And so
I'm gonna let you know, all the brothers in Muhammad Mosque number 75, that one thing they'll say about me, I'm real.
So my question to you, just as a brother in the community, because I've read Malcolm X's book 4 times.
Yes, sir.
How does the average brother in the Nation of Islam take that?
Take Malcolm X content?
Not Malcolm X's content, the end game.
When you say the end game,
the ultimate
leading up to
his demise.
Man, you know, I mean, for me, man, I understand how the system works. You know, that really, when you talk about the latter part in the book of Malcolm X, man, for those who don't have an understanding, then they are going to make their own, you know what I'm saying, assumptions and all of those things about Malcolm X.
Because I actually read that, but that chapter scares me.
Right, but I'll say this about that whole thing. If somebody in the Nation of Islam had did that, don't you think they would be in jail? Don't you think that the government could kill 2 birds with 1 stone?
Absolutely.
Right. So I mean, you got to look who you're dealing with. You know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said you can't fathom the depth of their wickedness. Yeah. They'll kill their own mother to save themselves. So when you are reading material, you got to read in between the lines when you read the material.
I do. Once I seen the, I read the book, and I, of course, seen the movie. My children have read the book.
Right.
They've seen the movie.
Right. See, but
and,
you can't stop
when
there.
You, and then when you factor in COINTELPRO.
Man, got to.
Even though there may have been a war of words, a beef so happened, I mean, I could see the,
see,
it's not hard to see COINTELPRO sneaking in. And,
And then, you know, you really got, I always tell people, man, there's always two sides to everything.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to go back and listen to the Most Honorable Louis Farrakhan speak on Malcolm X 28 years and later, a lecture that he did years ago when they tried to have set the Honorable Louis Farrakhan up with Malcolm X's daughter.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to go back and listen to what Minister Farrakhan has to say, because you get what the enemy is telling us, but you have to get it from Minister Farrakhan. You know, I always consider myself as one of those brothers, man. I'm not a great debater. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just give it to you, man.
Give it to you straight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna give it to you straight. You know, I'm gonna pull out my whatever, and I'm gonna blow you down, and I'm gonna keep it pushing. You know what I'm saying? But I always say, you know, it's people in the Nation of Islam that can give you more detailed information on those type of topics of discussion. Yeah.
But, oh no. I just as a, you know, someone that's not involved in, you know, I'm part of it. It's just me. Because, you know, when my kids read the book.
Right.
And
they had questions.
They came to me and they said, you know, Dad, this is like the black man's Bible.
Oh, man, come on. It is.
And so to me, I like I said, chapter 9.
Right.
It's kind of bad.
Man, yeah.
Chapter 9 is kind of, I read chapter 9 like 3 times by itself. So to me, it's like someone who I would say Malcolm is kind of like my hero.
Right. I mean,
to walk in the shoes of someone in the Nation of Islam, I'm like, do they think about,
man, there's so much
the possibility.
Man, there's so much going on in society, man. We don't think about that no more, man. We you know what I'm saying? Minister Farrakhan's life is almost parallel to some of the things that Malcolm experienced.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying, Minister Farrakhan, man. But you know, he's relentless in his pursuit for freedom, justice, and equality.
Absolutely.
That's what set him apart. He never deviated. See, that's a key word.
Yeah.
He never deviated from what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad left to him. He fell in love with it. You know, love and life is synonymous to one another.
Absolutely.
Those words have interchangeable vowels in there that complement one another.
Absolutely.
You can't have love and not have life, and you can't have life and not have love.
Absolutely.
So okay. Minister Farrakhan is the embodiment of love under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm.
So when you see that, man, I can't, you know, Malcolm is one of my heroes. Without
Absolutely.
A doubt. He a rider. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you spoke on that even in the video. You spoke on Malcolm being a big quote.
I love him. You know what I'm saying? His quotes, you know what I'm saying? His commitment. I mean, his discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, when they opened his body up, man, he had one of the cleanest bodies that they have ever did an autopsy on in the history of any type of situation of that matter.
Yeah, see, to me, I mean, what drew me to him, it, you know, of course, you know, I love, you know, his speeches, his quotes, but he was a huge reader.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a huge reader. And I think what confused people, what confuses people is readers, they never have a set philosophy.
Right.
Because every time they read a book,
You're growing, and
it changes.
Yeah.
So he, towards the end of his life, people were looking at him crazy because he didn't have a set philosophy. I don't have a philosophy. I'm still growing.
Right.
And that was where I was, you know, my thoughts now are going to be totally different three months from now.
Right. You know, and I always try to help young people to understand, you know, when they start making their transition, you know, spiritually, you know what I'm saying? Because in my house, man, I ain't never forced my children. You know, you ask any one of my children, I don't force them to be in the Nation of Islam. You know, never. I have never done that. I never, you know, okay, they was young growing up. All right, you want to put on your suit and bow tie? No, Daddy, I just want to put on regular clothes. All right, but come with me. We're going to the mosque.
Yeah.
That was just me. Everybody's not like that. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's about you setting that foundation in your home to allow your children to be open to what God has for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you can't force your child to be nothing. You know what I'm saying? You could force them, but a lot of times you're going to get resistance.
Fact.
All the time. I was one of them. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother be like, in Cali, you know, you going to church today.
Absolutely.
In the little church bus used to come in our neighborhood and pick all the children up. I see my grandmother going to her. I'd be like, shit, I ain't getting on that bus. I'm going around this block with my homeboy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when the bus come back, I'll be right there acting like I'm getting off the bus because I knew what time it came back, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, man, let your children grow.
Absolutely.
And identify with themselves.
Yeah. So you have four children?
I have four, two boys, two girls.
All Muslim?
All Muslim, yeah. All of their names, Malik, Khadijah, Najib, and Camila. Yeah.
But, and that's through their choice, because you say you didn't force them. So they chose.
Right, and what I mean is they not active in the sense of, you know what I'm saying, because you have to make that choice. You know, when I say make your shahada, you have to bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. You know, they haven't made that choice up to this point. But the principles and the foundations that I have laid in my home is based off the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So none of my family eat meat, but I do. You know what I'm saying? That's a choice. You know what I'm saying? My wife is a vegetarian. My son is a vegetarian. My youngest boy, Najee, he did Ramadan for 3 days when we was in Cali in a tournament. Didn't eat or drink nothing for 3 days. That was by choice, though. He just said, Daddy, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I told my wife, she was like, no, he playing in these tournaments. Leave him alone, baby. This one is something that he want to do. You know what I'm saying? Leave him alone. You know, he finished. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, all right. I know he moving in that direction.
Yeah.
But I ain't forcing you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I see Islam growing in you, but I ain't forcing you. You know what I'm saying? I see you wanting to know more about what the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is all about, but I ain't forcing you.
Yeah.
You know, you going to grow into that yourself. And if that's what you want to do, then I'm cool with it. If that's what you don't want to do, just know that God is the foundation in which solidifies your strength. You know, we can't, you know, oh, I'm a Muslim. I don't get caught all up into that. Yeah, yeah.
Slight change of subject.
Yeah.
I heard in your video, you worked with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I worked with Mike. Yeah, yeah. My few brothers, you know, because the Nation, you know, we had the contract, you know. So when we came on, the L.A. brothers, you know, I love them brothers out of Cali. You know, they put us on here in Vegas. And, you know, they put me on. And just so happened, man, I wasn't trying to be with Mike. I was just, like, at the house, securing the house. But he liked something about me. So he was like, man, tell Brother Kim, man, that, you know, I want him to ride with us. I was like, oh. So wherever he went, I went. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
Yeah. Whatever he did, I did. You know, and I learned a lot. You know, when my youngest was born, you know, he bought some things for him. You know what I'm saying? Bought him PlayStation. I don't know how the hell he was going to play it. He's the baby. Bought him a bike. You know what I'm saying? Bought diapers. You know? So, yeah, man. I learned a lot from Mike, you know, just from afar off. I learned how he dealt with people. You know what I'm saying? Then I seen how people mistreated him. I learned all that, you know, and I learned how to move as a man when you are securing a man of that stature. You know what I'm saying? All that training came from the Nation of Islam. So, man, that experience with Michael Jackson was a lot. I ate it. What was her name?
Elizabeth Taylor.
I ate at her house. You know what I'm saying? She fed us. You know what I'm saying? I ate at her house, man.
Here? She lived here?
No, she lived in Cali. When Mike used to make moves, man, you know, we'd make moves wherever he went.
Yeah.
I done flew on Lear jets, that stuff that you been seeing Jay-Z was on, man. I done that, you know, but I experienced all that, but I knew that, man, that don't move me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could ask any brother. I'll say, man, you know, and I had to keep it 100. I'd be like, man, Mike ain't God. Shit, man. He ain't my God, you know.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it 100, you know. You know, so at the end of the day, I always kept that in mind. I've been around a lot of celebrities, man. Not just Mike now. You know, I done been with Magic. I've been, man, Snoop, Cube, Eddie Murphy, Anita Baker. I mean, New Cute. Edition. I mean, because when you in the Nation, you privy to that. You know what I'm saying? You privy to that because they want us. You know what I'm saying? That's why I always used to tell brothers, man, shit, why we getting starstruck? You know, they want to be around us. They want us as their security. So, man, I done been to that. I done been to big time functions. I done secured Malcolm X's wife before she passed. Betty Shabazz, she came out here when Mike Tyson was fighting. She didn't want nobody else on her but me that night. And I couldn't see, I can't even tell you why. But she wanted me to secure. She told, was telling me, please tell them don't take pictures, Brother Kim, of me.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably one of the heights of my young time in the Nation of Islam. So,
oh, that's an honor. Yeah, that's an honor.
Yeah, but, yeah. I didn't been with the greatest honor is being with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
He and him play the violin while I'm sitting security on his front door. You know, that's beautiful. The minister plays the violin for real. I mean, like,
wow.
Not like just like some fake stuff. I'm talking about like,
yeah,
I'm a master violinist. You know what I'm saying? You know, if y'all don't know, he got a CD out. But rappers on the CD, man. Y'all got it, man. Y'all got to get that CD, man.
I didn't know that.
The minister, you know, and I know some people may say, man, why you talking like that? The minister make being a spiritual man fly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm stern. I'm fly. I'm a man. I represent the quality and the character of God. I'm uncompromising. I make you want to fall in love with being black. You know, that's the minister. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I want to bring to young brothers like y'all and y'all children, man. So when I'm at these schools and on that campus, man, I enjoy the company of the young brothers, man. Everybody know me. You know, and then I'm in the valley just because I write free journal. You know, I do a freelance journalism for high school basketball. You know, my site is called Unit One Hoop Source.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I got over 100 articles. I write, you know, I was just in the gym looking up a young girl right now in the eighth grade that go to Escobedo. Got game like a young fella.
What
I'm saying? And you know, so she in the eighth grade right now. I'm telling you right now, her name is Raina. You know, Raina, I'm shouting you out, baby. Y'all gonna hear about her in about 3 or 4 years.
You hear about Taylor Bigsby?
Oh, I know Lamar Bigsby's daughter.
Yeah.
She got game. She go to Centennial.
U.S. Today Player of the Week.
Yeah, Player of the Week. I voted for her.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Come on, man. I know all these children in this city. Yeah, man, we got some of the baddest hoopers in this city.
So why we can't keep them in the city?
You know, we don't recruit them.
Yeah, man, you know, that's a whole nother animal. You know, man, we got to get somebody like Tark in this city. But you got to make wanting to stay in Vegas, man, something, you know. You got to, you know, man, the game of basketball, and this is why I'm telling young brothers, man, because and the reason, man, you got to have more to your life than just basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we being utilized as tools and slaves. We are being kept blind, deaf, and dumb to the knowledge of ourselves. And we thinking because we can get to the lead, you know what I'm saying, we have arrived. No,
it's
man.
Entertainment.
No, y'all need to go read that book, man. Go get that book called, The $1 million, The $1 million Slave. I think I got it in my car. I'll shout it out to y'all. But
$1 million Slave?
Yeah. It's a brother who wrote the book, man. And it gives you an in-depth history of us through the sports arena from the beginning to right now to this present day and time. You know what I'm saying? You can't imagine some of the stuff that we went through. You know, when we think of the Negro League, we think of that as being the first black baseball league. No, that's not the first black. The Negro League was secondary to the original black baseball league. And you got to go read that for yourself, man. It's a lot of information there. But I got to absorb that information.
$1 million Slave.
Yeah. The $1 million Slave. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, with all that, like just now, T.I. was showing a thing about Gucci and the different clothing brands doing the blackface.
Right.
And with you being big on your community, supporting your community.
To me, that it was more, you were saying the difference between being proactive and reactive.
Right.
To me, this is more of a reactive.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. You know, because a lot of those dudes, man, they already with those brands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to remember this, man. Y'all say this unfiltered, right?
Unfiltered.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Can't let money make a whore out of you.
Mm. Right.
And that's what a lot of entertainers have become, whores. Because they allow money to trick their minds off. You know what I'm saying? And we think that we have a ride because we got a few dollars in our pocket. But many of us are whores. And we on our hands and knees. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Serving up the white man. So now that he come out really showing his true colors, you know, now we want to, you know, be reactive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing new. So for me, it's not surprising.
Yeah, I bring it up because you speak big on fatherhood.
Right.
And with fatherhood, like with my kids, I try to, they want the Jordans, they want the iPhones, they want stuff, and I try to take that out of them. Like, right. I want you to give me a legit reason why.
Right.
Besides Jordan is the big brand right now, or iPhones is the major phone right now.
Right. You know, my children believe me, man. I ain't perfect. And I'm telling you, man, I deal with those same issues. My daughter got some Yeezys, but I ain't buying them damn things. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to figure that out. You're going to have to get a job or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But then I one day I really shocked her. I really messed her up. You know what I'm saying? This is my baby daughter, which is becoming a teacher. You know, I was like, damn, look at your feet, man. Your feet, you got like $400 shoes on. You got $70 jeans on, and you got that nice watch on. What's in your account, though?
Yeah.
Is your account equivalent to what you got on? I'm telling you, hell no, your account now. You broke. So you ain't in no position to defend yourself in no way. So what you going to do? You got to change your thought process, ma'am, or you going to be hungry, naked, and outdoors. In this world in which we live in, it's unforgiving.
Absolutely.
You know, so it was like a shock and awe with her. And sometimes we need that shock treatment. We got to be that shock treatment to the minds of our children, because it's easy to be swept up into this vacuum. You know what I'm saying? And what you dealing with, I deal with. Whatever y'all dealing with y'all children, believe me.
That's why I ask.
I'm dealing with.
I go through it.
Yeah. But you know what? Now, what I did with my family was one day, Dr. Boyce Watkins.
Yes.
He
came out here. We went to.
Oh, man. Y'all, man. See, I got to know y'all now, yeah, man. I get all y'all numbers, man. Y'all got to
know. Yeah, we can do that.
I went at Nevada Partners.
Oh, wow. Yep. See, he did a video, and I checked it out. I'm checking it out. My oldest son don't live with me. He got his own spot. I was like, I'll just call everybody. My wife at work, hey, send out a text. Sunday, you know, because we always eat dinner together on Sunday. Sunday, man, we watching Boyce Watkins.
Black Wall Street.
Yeah, we watching on a topic that he's talking about. He was talking about investment, and I already do that. But I was trying to put my children up on game, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to wait for nobody, you know, to create finances for you. You can do it yourself.
Right.
You don't have to wait for no retirement plan. You can create your own retirement plan.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So we take the little app. I got all of them got the little app now, even my 25-year-old. You got a Stash app or Robinhood app. You know what I'm saying? Start putting a few dollars away. Learn how to invest your money. Play with it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And if you do it long enough, we bright, we intelligent.
Start working for you.
Yeah. And literally, after a while, man, I was messing with it for a little bit. I was like, God damn, it really worked.
Yep.
So now let me put them on some other type of game. You got to know finances, because when you know your finances, you empower yourself. You got to start teaching your children right now how money work. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how money work, you got to get a book. You know what I'm saying? It's because at the end of the day, your children got to be empowered with their resources. They can't let a job, brother, dictate the outcome of their life.
Yeah, see, that's the conversation me and my ex-wife we used to always butt heads over. Like, she's big on, they need to go to college. They need to get. I'm just more so like, I want to teach my kids how to make money and be happy.
Right. You know, and I'll say this. You know, I don't know your ex-wife, but ain't nothing wrong with school.
Nah.
But why not go to school and get your bread?
Right.
Man, I'll be so honest with you, man. My oldest son, the last pair of tennis shoes that I probably bought him, and he had all the shoes. I ain't never owned a pair of Jordans in my life.
Yeah.
And I've been around when Jordan was around, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember Michael Jordan played with motherfucking gold chains on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been around. I stopped buying my son's shoes when he was 12 years old. That's the last time I bought my oldest son a pair of shoes. But I showed him how to get the money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what we did was we went down to places where you buy Walmart, bought him a big piece of cardboard. We got a ruler. Chalked it down, went to Smart Final, bought about 10 boxes different of candy. Say, I'm going to teach you how to make a little bread. And, man, we broke it down, man, and put the candy in. And then, man, before you knew it, man, at the end of the year, my son had over $1,200. Mm. And then now, you know, he knew he was kind of smart. He started writing essays for people, charging $30. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. Okay.
No, for real, though.
See, that was my hustle was the mix CDs. Hustle.
See? Yeah,
that
see?
Was my hustle in high school. CDs.
Now you can do the same thing with your children. Go put a little chart up in their room. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're going to do. We're going to show you, we're going to teach you how to make money. And then we're going to show you how to rear back up. We're going to show you how to put a little bit away. and you just keep doing that. And let's see what you have within 6 months. Yeah. And watch how that changed their mind when they see they have like $200-$300. They be like, oh, shit, and I ain't got to ask my daddy for $20? Oh, man, this ain't nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I try to do that with my oldest daughter, but shit, she spent it before she, before she finished making it. You know?
So, what's your take on Black History Month?
Man, every day is Black History.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even get caught all up in that foolishness. You know, I was at my son's school. Man, I know y'all probably running out of time.
No,
you good.
Okay. I was just checking.
Okay.
To you.
My son, I was at the school right before the meeting, and I heard the little Spanish girl coming there, and she's speaking. She kept saying the word Negro, you know. But she was reading about a historical Black person. Yeah. But in the content, it was referring not to Black, but a Negro.
Yeah.
And my son sitting over there, he looking at me like. Because, you know, we don't talk like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't get caught all up in Black history because every day is Black history.
Absolutely.
The Black man, God.
Absolutely.
Man, I done had so many conversations and battles with people with that. I don't even get caught all up in it, you know, because I understand that, you know, if scripture says that ye are all gods, children of the Most High God, that makes him a God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't a nigga. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of language that we got to speak to our children. We got to empower them.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I see my daughter, she a queen. And that's, you know what I'm saying? That word bitch and hoe, and they hear that all the time. They being programmed through the radio station.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you got to combat that, man. You got to be that stop sign. You know that information starts are coming to your house, man. You be like, just like last night. You know, I don't trip off of it. Yeah. I like some of these rappers, these young dudes, man. You know, man, I like some of them.
Yeah.
Richie Hustle, my
dude. My thing was, you know, I was pointing out to them, maybe probably our first couple episodes was Black History Month. And I said it breaks my heart because this is the month where you see the colorism at a full scale.
Right. But tell you the truth, here in Las Vegas, you don't, it's different than Cali when I was growing up, or it's different than the South. Where my father near me is right now. Okay. Black history not really spoke about out here.
No. Not in the schools at all.
No. Right now. So
you walk in and then like.
You don't even know Black history really going on right now.
All the Martin Luther Kings are light skinned.
Man, but man, you know, that whole Martin Luther King thing, man, and I love him, man, but he had a lecture called Pulling Up By Your Bootstraps that he did in the early 60s. A hall in Washington, D.C., a lecture that they will never play a Dr. King because they don't want your children to be exposed to that. They only want your children to be fantasized by I Have a Dream speech. It's more, way more to Dr. King than that. You know, Dr. King was a rider. He was a soldier.
And he tells you, like, I wasn't even supposed to do that.
No.
That was like, that was what you would call freestyle back then.
And that's what they feed our children. But it's left up to us.
Yeah,
to teach our children real history. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Teach them Carter G. Woodson, Noble Drew Ali, Ben Amin Carter, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, people Absolutely. Like that, man. They got to know about that, man. Because if not, then, man, you ain't creating no legacy. Shit, you building somebody that is in opposition to your family.
And
So, man, we got to do a better job all around, man. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you got anything?
Yeah, if y'all got any questions, man.
I know we do have to be, we are on a time schedule. Normally, this conversation would probably be a 2-3 hour conversation, but we are on a time schedule. So I do want to get to what originally brought us to this point, the situation at the school.
Okay.
Can we touch on that?
Man, let's go. Let's go.
So what happened? So for those, because everybody's not, we've seen the video, but everybody who's listening to the podcast may not know what's going on. So can you give us a backstory about what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on at Democracy Prep, in a nutshell, man, they didn't do their paperwork with their accreditation for their school all across the board, from the little children all the way up to the high schoolers. Yeah. So their high school diplomas really don't hold no value at all.
Jeez.
Just keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying? And this is the problem that we have across America with Black institutions. I mean, with Black children going to institutions of that nature. So what happened was, man, word got back to me, and I already knew that there was a problem.
Yeah.
A young lady that went to Agassiz last year that goes to Rancho now, she runs track, and she was offered a scholarship from Utah State. And Utah State got word and checked the records and got back with some people over there at Agassiz, and all hell broke loose. So Diggs, Coach Trevor Diggs, got with me and told me on Wednesday what was taking place, and I just was proactive, man, and, you know, got right at him. And this is where we are right now. So I did have a private meeting today with the director. I don't like to say private, but, you know, yeah, it was private. You know, he's reassuring me that they really working on it, but, man, I don't believe nothing until I see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Okay, your son's a senior.
Exactly.
So if a child was younger than that, if they transfer, would their high school credits not transfer? Would they not be transferred?
They don't have none. It's just like they ain't have none if they accepted to a college. It's like that. If just say you in the 10th grade, right, and you went there last year, you don't have nothing. you know? Crazy. And it's crazy, man. This is ninth graders don't have nothing. Shit, it's like they're in the 8th grade. You know what I'm saying? They went to school for a year for nothing.
Was this the issue when it was Agassiz prep as well, or is it just
– Man, Agassiz had their own – they had issues of that nature too, you know. But until we get our own schools and create our own environment, we're going to run into these type of problems. Agassiz had these same type of problems. Before Democracy Prep got there, I told everybody when they had the meeting, telling everybody that they were about to make the transition. I stood up in the meeting, and it was – packed with all the people, and I told them, I said, y'all remember that I'm telling y'all this, y'all gonna have problems with this institution right here because they don't have what's in the best interest of our children. They liars and hypocrites. And I said that in that meeting.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because it's not, see, at the end of the day, Najib gonna be cool. It's for those single mothers, you know what I'm saying, or for those parents that's really not deeply engaged in their children affairs. That's why I do what I do and say what I say, man. I don't care about being no activist and all of that. Yeah. I'm just a real dude,
and
man.
And you guys did leave, but you couldn't. He couldn't play somewhere else.
Yeah, we left. We left right after the season of last year, and we were gone for almost a month. And word got back to my house, man, that if Najib wanted to play the following year, and we know that he was the 2A state player of the year, he will not be able to play.
Yeah, he's not going for that.
And I was like, oh, hell no. We worked too hard, man. We put in that work, that real grind, you know. So we got right back, and, you know. We busting heads over there, too.
So my thing, even you speak a lot, you say for Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, these schools is, for the black community, is pushed. Like, they push for us to send our kids to these schools. Like,
oh, they push for that. It's an experiment.
It's major. So
yeah.
So this push is kind of another fight in the wrong direction, right? You're pushing our kids to go to the school, and if we have these athletic kids, like – my brother Dante said his son goes to that school.
Right.
His son is an amazing basketball player.
Right.
And that's the same. So they're pushing it, and they can't help him in the long run.
Man, that's what it is. It's never their intention to help us in the long run. See, we got to get that through our heads, and we got to put in our children's heads, man, you just not a basketball player. Yeah. Even though I know that Najib, he has the ability to do something very special. But I got to constantly keep – you just not that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to understand that too. And we got to help ourselves to understand, to not allow ourselves to get wrapped up in that, because the bigger agenda is the development of the minds of our children.
Absolutely.
So they can go to a better if they're not athletic, they can still go to a better university from that school graduating.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you could still go to school. But, man, but what is the value? See, because I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know the details to everything. So,
but you got a D1 player going to a D3.
Right.
That's
– yeah. Come on. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, to me, it's like a hurt. It's like another way of shooting us in the head.
It is.
Shooting our community in the foot.
But the reason that they can shoot us in the head and in the foot, because we don't have a thorough knowledge of ourselves.
So absolutely. I have a question because – my kids don't go there, but I do have a couple friends who have kids that go there. And when I first heard the news of Democracy Prep and I saw the rules they laid out, like, to me, it was clear as day. This was we hear about the school to prison pipeline, and this seemed to be the clearest example I've seen in real life to be a case of that, where it's like you can't talk in the hallways. It's like
right.
I was like, yeah. They're treating these kids like cattle.
I'm gonna go back and say it again. It's all an experiment.
Yeah.
Coming in the door, I knew that. And you know what I'm saying? We don't comply to that. We don't, man.
Absolutely.
Man, listen here, man. You got to go to the restroom? Just get up and go to the restroom, man. Somebody say something, get at me at the end of the day. But every parent not like that. Yeah. But it is what you saying it is.
So that's why I'm like, when I, that's what I'm saying. When I first saw it, like, I'm like, this is a clear cut case to me of this is what is going on. Like, this is, they're preparing these kids' mindsets to be this. So I'm as a parent, how did you accept that to be like, okay, even though this is what we see is going on, I'm still gonna let my son go to this school.
At the end of the day, at the high school level, it's not like that.
Okay.
At the middle school and the elementary level, it's like that.
I
already had an agenda in place. You know what I'm saying? And me, my wife, and my son, we sat down and we knew what we were already going to do. Okay. But, you know, when you have children at that level of you, you got to be the one that makes that decision on where you want your child to go.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You have to go in there. You have to study those people. You have to go in there. You have to have one-on-one meetings with the director. See where his head is at.
Yeah.
See what their language is.
Yeah.
See what their... what they want to, where they going. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to do all of that. You got to get involved. That's the only way I could put it.
Yeah.
You know,
see, my mind was so not, I teach my children to be kind of like respectable disruptors, meaning
passive aggressive. That's all. Yeah. That's what you teaching them.
not necessarily passive aggressive. Like, ask questions. Don't fall into the status quo.
Yeah.
So, What brought me to democracy was more so of the structure, not of the institution. It would help him structure his life a little bit.
Okay. But you know what? I'll be honest with you, brother. The structure comes from you.
This is true.
I don't care where they go.
This is true.
You know, when you lay that solid foundation in them, man.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just like having a hook on them. And a piece of thread, they can only go so far, and then you're going to reel them back in.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom. So at the end of the day, man, it starts with the home. Don't look for no structure from the institution, you know? Look from the structure from you.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, it was just more so like hearing about the work and not so much the discipline. I don't care about that, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, ask questions. Don't just sit there and be quiet just because you feel like you feel like the teacher has power over you. And we sat down and we made like goals and everything like you have with your son. My only thing was there isn't a school out here. Like, we lack culture.
Right. Oh, we do.
So any school out here is going to be like an experiment.
Yeah.
They all are school-to-prison pipeline schools to me.
All of them. It's not one. Unless you go to Alderson. But who got the money to go to Alderson? Or go to Bishop Gorman or Faith Lutheran or those type of institutions? You know, our children get the secondary education. So at the end of the day, man, we got to be constant educators in our own household. So we got to be proactive in our house.
Yeah.
So, you know, my oldest son, he was homeschooled. My oldest daughter, she was homeschooled. My youngest daughter was homeschooled. Najee wasn't homeschooled. So they thought process on how things was ran. My wife didn't work for the first 6 years. You know what I'm saying? I did everything. You know what I'm saying? I'd say, baby, stay home, you know, because I'm going to go out here and get it. You know, I was washing cars. I was detailing cars. Yeah. I had one of the fly detail car trucks out in Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, that's what I did, you know. So when my son went into the public school system, he was like ready, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, man, it starts in your house, you know, and it's left up to the individuals in their household, man, to create that foundation and that structure that's good for them, and don't let these people fuck over them.
Absolutely.
You know, and you got to go in there with that mentality. You're not fucking over my child.
Yeah.
This is my baby, you know.
All right. Well, any departing words?
Nah, I ain't gonna say I got everything, but I know we on the time limit.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I'm glad.
We can do this one.
It's good to hear this again.
Man, one day, man, whatever y'all, because man, hey, I'm down with y'all. I'm finna push y'all out there. You know, all of my old heads, they definitely gonna know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, y'all got flyers.
Nah, we ain't got episodes like this. We ain't got too many, but
man, enough. Y'all got enough.
Well, we're trying to create the conversation. So this part of our show, when we do this show, is to create a different conversation. Our regular show is just us talking.
Okay.
But this part of our show is to create a different conversation, to add some type of education somewhere.
Right.
And we not,
to somebody.
Yeah, so we don't have to adhere to any narratives. We ain't got nobody paying us.
Man, that's good.
So we can have uncensored furniture moving if need be.
Right.
But it gets the conversation out there.
Man, that's good, man. I'm glad to be a part of, man, brother. So anything that y'all need from me, man, y'all want, if we can get some real, man, to get y'all numbers up, man.
Absolutely. Don't stop here. I see you with your stuff, man. So now we can have some talks.
No, but if y'all need like some, I'm just talking about some individuals.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's in that, out there, you know, that might got some stars behind their head. I'm going to talk to some people, man. Maybe y'all get them on here.
Okay.
And we work something out.
Appreciate
you. Oh, man, we want to have a conversation with whoever. Okay. Whoever's willing to have a conversation with us, if it put us out there.
It's a done deal.
We want you to plug everything, though. We want you to plug everything you're doing. You
got
to do that.
What you got going on, man?
Man, I'm
just a natural born hustler. I'm about my children. I'm about my wife. I'm about my family. I'm about Unit One Hoop Source, the number one independent grassroots basketball publication, not just in the city, but in the state. You know, I cover all these children in Las Vegas, not a child in this city that I haven't written about. I'm the first independent grassroots publication in the city.
Okay.
You know, I'm the first to highlight children that don't get spoke about in this city. I'm the first to have academic and scholarship funding from an independent grassroots basketball publication in this city. I'm the first to do the first black independent spelling bee here in the city.
Talk to him one time.
With
keep going.
Over 350 like, children.
Talk your shit, dog.
Talk your talk, man.
I mean, you know, I'm the first grassroots basketball publication to do an essay contest and give out a $500 prize to what is it called? Urban Necessity.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the young man went in there and spent the $500, man. You know, man, this is what we about, man. We're about helping our children to understand that education is real, real fly.
And that website again was?
Unit One Hoop Source. Yeah.
And where can people find you?
You got any social medias?
I got Twitter, Unit One Hoop Source. Twitter, Unit One Hoop Source, Instagram, man. You know, old school meet new school.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, we gonna follow all that.
We out there, man. Go follow all these babies.
My boy
in the
seventh grade, man. But I would love for you to check him out, man. Yeah. I would love.
Yeah, I got you. It's a done deal. You good.
I know we about to wrap it up. Before we get out of here, man, I just want to say, me personally, I appreciate you, brother, because not everybody's out here putting their boots to the ground, fighting for their kids the way you are. Me personally, watching the video, I know I got a lot of work to do as a father. I always consider myself a good father, but I'm like, damn, brother, you got some work to do. So
I appreciate
you for setting the bar a little bit higher for me, so I know I got more work to do. I got more pushing to do. So I appreciate you, brother.
Man, much love. Much love.
All right, man. As always, you can follow the page, Views from the 7 page on Twitter at Views from the 7, on Instagram at Views from the _7, and on Facebook at Views from the 7. Where can they find y'all at, fellas?
Twitter and Instagram, Young Al Bundy, YUNG_Al_Bundy.
And follow me on Twitter, it's SkinnyJr_777, I believe.
All right, this your guy Spence. You can follow me on Twitter at Just Call Me Spence. All right, man, we love y'all. We out.
Peace.